Hope everybody had a great weekend. Grant and AP here on Listen Up. And boy, do we have a lot to go over. Monday Night Football. Ian Book from Oak Ridge High School, the former Notre Dame quarterback, making his NFL debut tonight. Hard to believe that Ian Book is going to be on the field as the quarterback. It's the Saints and the Dolphins. The NFL recap from over the weekend, starting with the game San Francisco and Tennessee on Thursday night. If you want to talk about that, you want to talk about the Raiders just barely getting a win against Denver to keep their slim playoff hopes alive. The rest of the NFL picture from yesterday, a couple of big upsets again, and then a big game. The Bills beat the Patriots 33-31 to now have an opportunity to win that division. So the Pats have now lost two games in a row at Indianapolis, and then the game yesterday against New England. So maybe the Bills are starting to find themselves at the end of the season. Chiefs continue to roll. The big upset was the Texans over the Chargers, 41-29. And the rest of the NFL, you know the routine. If you want to get on, all you need to do is raise your hand. I'll put you up on stage, and you will be on with me. Another game, you had Joe Burrow throwing for 525 yards as the Bengals routed the Ravens 41-21. So that's a quick recap of what we saw in the National Football League. And, of course, on Saturday, you had the struggling Cardinals lose to the red-hot Colts, and you had the Packers edge the Browns. Not a good game for Baker Mayfield, but he also got screwed on a couple of horrible non-calls, one particularly at the very end of the game on a fourth down. You know, and the officiating in the NFL stinks. You know, there's just no other way to say it. It's absolutely awful. Speaking of stinks, the Sacramento Kings are such an embarrassment that, yeah, I'm not even sure where to start here. You have Alvin Gentry, who has to come out in the post-game press conference and talk about how the performance was, quote, absolutely ridiculous and the most disappointing that he's been, the most disappointed he's been in his 34 years of coaching. How about that? And then he talked about, you know, the players need to find some pride. Basically, that means the players don't give a damn. So if the players don't give a damn, why should the fans give a damn? I mean, why would you spend money to go watch a team whose coach says they don't have any pride? Like, really? Like, does it get any worse than that? Does it get any worse than that? The coach has to come out and rip his team. And by the way, just for the record, I've known Alvin Gentry for a long time. And I've always respected Alvin Gentry because he's a direct, honest, ethical man. And he just comes out and says, there's no camouflaging. There's no, he's speaking to you directly. And I, for one, appreciate that about Alvin Gentry. Because you know what? He knows. He knows the real deal. He also knows how messed up the franchise is. But he's talking about his players. Because the franchise is messed up. There's just no other way to say it. I mean, sorry, there's just no other way to say it. The Kings are a mess. They're an absolute mess. And for Alvin Gentry to say it's the most disappointed that he's been in 34 years, it's the low point in his coaching career in 34 years. Talks about a ridiculous performance. And how about De'Aaron Fox? You know, I've been a big De'Aaron Fox supporter. But his press conference after the game yesterday was embarrassing. His appearance was embarrassing. His demeanor was embarrassing. His answers were embarrassing. This is supposed to be the leader of the team? Really? The Kings pulled up the Brinks truck for De'Aaron Fox? And this is what De'Aaron does? Is he a paycheck guy? Well, I got my money, so I don't care anymore. Seriously, is he a paycheck guy? I've seen paycheck guys. I've seen guys where they get their money and they're paycheck guys. Marcus Thornton was a paycheck guy. I've seen it. It happens. You know, is that De'Aaron Fox? I mean, De'Aaron Fox was given the keys to the car by the Sacramento Kings front office, a max contract, and he's been awful. His body language has been awful on the court. His apparent lack of leadership, his post-game press conferences, his play on the court. I mean, I don't know what else to say. And I've been a big supporter of De'Aaron, but I can't support him anymore. I'm sorry. I just can't. You telling me that a guy that is on a max deal, who is the point guard of the team, supposed to be the leader of the team, and I mean, this, when you watch De'Aaron Fox play, those of you that are still left as fans, and I know that there aren't many, seriously, do you see a guy that wants to really be on the court? Do you see that? I don't see it. I don't see it. You know, he's shooting 25% from three. He has gotten his free throw percentage up to 74%. His assist to turnover is terrible this year. And the reality is that the Kings point guard should be Tyrese Halliburton. That's your point guard. Just the reality. It's just, I don't know where you go from here. I really don't. I don't know where you go from here if you're a fan of the Sacramento Kings. You have an owner in Vivek Ranadive who has done a horrible job. Horrible job. A guy that, in my opinion, likes getting off the court awards more than he does watching his team win. A man that obviously has made terrible decisions in the hiring process. Terrible decisions in player personnel. And if you don't think he's involved in that, then you're delusional. Has done an absolutely awful job in marketing his product. How horrible. I mean, as bad as you can do. Has pushed his fans away from the team. Has absolutely failed as an owner. Failed. There's no other way to say it. Has a fan base that doesn't want to go to the games, doesn't want to watch the games, doesn't want to wear their Kings gear, don't want to support the team. That's your owner. Has had a number of minority owners sell their shares and get the hell out of Dodge. Has other minority owners that I am personally aware of that are trying to dodge the team. And again, they're going to make money. Don't feel sorry for them. There are the other minority owners that do not want to be involved. And again, it's business, so understand they're going to make their money. But they're embarrassed by what's going on. Embarrassed. You know, they're embarrassed. I know that for a fact. It's not an opinion. It's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. And, you know, listen, I'm going to give Monty McNair 3 years here. And again, I understand what Monty's dealing with. That's why I have not been critical of Monty McNair. I'm not critical because I know how the organization is run. So I can't be critical of a general manager in that situation. I'm sorry. I just can't. And I also am not going to go against what I believe. And I believe that a general manager needs 3 years. I've never met Monty. I wouldn't know Monty McNair if he, you know, was standing next to me in the elevator. So I'm not going to sit here and talk about, I know the man, I think he's great. I'm not saying any of that. What I'm saying is I can't be critical of the man because I know what he's up against. I know, trust me, I know. And it hasn't been 3 full years yet. So if you want to get in on the program, those are a couple of the topics. If you want to look at the NBA standings, the Kings now are in 12th. And if they lose to Oklahoma City tomorrow, Oklahoma City will pass them in the standings. They're 3 games out of the loss column to the Spurs. And there does not seem to be any hope in sight if you're a fan of the Sacramento Kings. I mean, you tell me, do you see any hope? You see any reason to get excited about this team? If you do, let me know. Hit your hand icon, raise your hand, and let's talk about this. Let's talk about the NFL as well. We're all together here on Listen App on this Monday edition. Greatly appreciate you being on with me, and let's talk some sports here. Big game tonight. 2-7-7 teams, Miami and New Orleans, and Ian freaking Book, quarterback of the Saints. I have so much admiration for Ian because I've known him since he was a little boy. I watched him play his first ever football game. I watched him play most of his youth career. I watched him play at Oak Ridge High School. I have seen him on numerous occasions at Minnie's House of Pain, the gym that we both worked out at. And the guy is, I mean, it's just really awesome for me personally to see how he has developed and is on this stage. Played lacrosse in high school too. Just a great athlete, good person, great person actually. Just his dedication, he's just got it, man. Just amazing. So I'm really excited to watch him. So you have Miami and New Orleans. Again, two teams trying to get into the postseason. And this is a big, big, big game tonight. So again, we've talked a lot about the Kings and their, I'll just call it, I don't know if I would call it ineptitude. I don't know. I'm not really sure which adjectives would fit the situation the best. I mean, embarrassing doesn't really do it justice. I'm not really sure what I would characterize it as. I really don't. If you were a fan of the Cleveland Browns, you want Baker Mayfield as your quarterback? Again, in all fairness to Baker, they got screwed on a couple of non-calls. Speaking of quarterbacks, and I talked about this on my rant. Yeah, I know Jimmy Garoppolo was not great on Thursday. I get that. I also did not expect the Niners to play great. I did expect them to win a close game because of the offensive line of Tennessee. But now, you know, according to Adam Schefter, he's got a torn ligament and a fracture on his thumb, on his throwing hand. So maybe the 49er fans will get their wish. Because I think the 49er fans are really down. And Garoppolo did not practice today. So we don't know. I don't know how you could possibly play with that type of an injury on the thumb of your throwing hand. Trey Lance took all the work with the starters. If you think that the 49ers are better with Trey Lance than Jimmy Garoppolo, a healthy Jimmy Garoppolo, then I think you're delusional. All right? That's my opinion. But Garoppolo suffered the injury with, 4 minutes left in the second quarter according to Kyle Shanahan. So he was playing with a injured thumb, which obviously would have affected his performance. All right? I mean, but yet the fans just wanted to kill him. And I just think the guy is as underappreciated as any player in the National Football League. I really do. Now, Shanahan did say this about Trey Lance. Quote, I think this last month of Trey has been his best consecutive 4 weeks of practice since we've had him. He's had a number of good days and he's had some bad days like most guys do. But as far as his consistency and stuff, I feel this last month has been his best. Well, it better be. You know, you should get better as the season goes on. So if it's not the best, then something's really wrong. So you may get Trey Lance, and I hope he plays well. I really do. But if he doesn't play well, I don't want to hear 49er fans complain. I really don't. Because you've been basically on Jimmy Garoppolo's case for a long time now. And if Garoppolo does indeed have a fracture and a tear of his thumb, I'm sorry, he's not playing. You know, you're not playing quarterback in the NFL with that type of an injury on your thumb. Just not happening. So, all right, I need to hear from you. If you want to come on, you hit your hand icon, raise your hand, I'll put you on stage. We got the Monday recap from all the weekend football. And then we've got college football, the college football playoffs coming up this Friday. So, Alabama, Cincinnati, and you have Georgia and Michigan. Who do you like? So you got some college football back coming up this week. So if you want to talk about that as well, again, give me a shout. Hit your hand icon. I'll put you up on stage, and we will be able to do this. All right, you got NFL, NBA, and the college football playoffs. And tonight, you've got Tennessee, or excuse me, you've got New Orleans hosting Miami. NBA tonight, your schedule looks like this. Charlotte, Houston, Atlanta hosts Chicago. Boston is in Minnesota. Utah is at San Antonio. Memphis is in Phoenix. Dallas travels to Portland. Brooklyn is in LA to take on the Clippers. So there you have it. Your NBA schedule. The Kings don't play until tomorrow, Oklahoma City. And then the Kings wrap up this calendar year with two home games against the struggling Dallas Mavericks. But Mavericks are another team, and I've been talking about this for years, that are very overrated. I've been saying this for a long time. They're 15 and 17. And, you know, Luka, for all the accolades that he gets, you know, doesn't exactly make the Dallas Mavericks a great team. All right? And I've heard this, and I'm going to keep on saying this. You know, he's not the easiest guy in the world to play with. He's just not. And is he talented? Yes. Is he exciting to watch? Yes. Is he worth the price of admission? Yes. But, you know, it's not like he's turned the Dallas Mavericks into some great team. He has not. You know, Carlisle didn't want to coach him anymore. You know, he's still very young. There's no question about that. But, you know, it's not like he's taken the Dallas Mavericks and made them into some tremendous team. You know, he's also missed a number of games this year. He's only played in 21 games. So, you know, you can't discount that. You know, he's in COVID protocol. But, you know, the Mavs have played, what, 32 games. So he's missed 11 of the games. And the Mavs are 15 and 17. And again, the Mavs are in Sacramento to wrap up the calendar year for two games. Here's the recent body of work. I always like to go in five-game increments for the Dallas Mavericks. They lost to the Lakers in overtime, 107 and 104. They lost at Minnesota, 111 to 105. They beat Minnesota two nights later, 114 to 102. They lost to Milwaukee 102 to 95. On Saturday, they lost a close game at Utah, 120 to 116. Tonight, they're in Portland. Then Wednesday and Friday in Sacktown. So we'll see what is in store for the Mavs and the Kings. All right, your turn. Hit your hand icon, raise your hand. I'll put you up on stage, and we will do this on this busy, busy, busy Monday. And this has been a lot going on in both the NFL and the NBA. Why don't we get to Jay? Jay, you'll start us off here on this Monday. How are you, sir?
Good. Hey, nice recap. Yeah, so a couple things for you in the NFL and NBA. Yeah, on the Niners, yeah, my biggest criticism with Garoppolo in the past is his passing accuracy. You know, overall, I agree with you. I think he's done a good job, but you know, sometimes it's that accuracy in key, especially in key situations, has left him. Now, looking back at this last game, knowing he got injured in the second quarter, that kind of explains what happened during the course of the game, where he missed some wide open guys and or was behind them, or the pass just wasn't there, and just a couple of those completions makes a big difference. But if the guy has that kind of a thumb injury, I put that more on the coach and the training staff and communication during the game of, hey, we got a problem here, and it'll be interesting to see, is it bad enough where he's not going to play? Because like you said, Trey Lance hasn't really shown us he's NFL ready yet. It'll be interesting if after, another month's worth of practice, does the guy look different now than he did when he was substituting when Garoppolo was hurt earlier in the year? Because that certainly didn't look good.
No, that did not look good. You're absolutely correct, 100%. And you're right about the accuracy. I think that's fair criticism. I mean, we saw it in the Super Bowl against Kansas City in the fourth quarter. How many times did he miss George Kittle when he was wide open? So, yeah, I mean, it's fair. Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. And then to the Kings, it's just a mess there. And I think that the team has proved this isn't a coaching thing. If it was so much of a Walton problem, Gentry and Christie could have fixed it, but the problems are exactly the same as they were under Walton. So, it just doesn't seem like it's a coaching situation. And then when you look at the games where Fox was out, and in fact, a bunch of starters and key backups were out, and Hallie was running the point, even though the record, I think, wasn't that great while he was gone at 2-3 or something like that. But, he looked like a different player. He looked like he could lead the team. The stats are a little hard to judge because it was stat padding because of who he was playing with. But just the eyeball test was, yeah, that guy looks like he should be the starting point guard. Which then goes back to, all right, Monty, let's are we gonna build this team around Fox? Are we gonna build this team around Hallie? I agree with you. I don't know if I have the same patience for 3 years. If we say that Monty's had a year under his belt, that we give him two more years. But I certainly think by the end of next summer, we need to have a roster. We need to be seeing a team that we can go, okay, I can get behind this. Because what we have right now isn't something that you can say, okay, we can get behind that.
Well, here's the deal, Jay. There's so many different variables with the Kings that need to be fixed. Like, I'm not even sure where you would start, because if ownership does not come out with a different philosophy of running the team and making decisions, then nothing underneath really matters. So, there's such a multitude of issues with the franchise. But if Vivek Ranadive is going to continue to make his decisions and run the franchise the same way, I don't really see how anything's going to get better. And then once he does make that decision, whether it is to change the way he views ownership or sell his portion of the team, which I think a lot of the fans would like to see right now, then things can start to get better. But until then, we can talk about Fox all we want. We can talk about Bagley. We can talk about Halliburton. We can talk about whomever we want. I don't really think it matters. I just don't think it matters. I mean, it needs to change at the top. And until it starts changing at the top, I don't see how things are going to get better. I really don't.
Yeah, unfortunately, I agree.
Jay, have a great evening. Thanks very much. Appreciate it. All right, bye-bye now. Good stuff right there from Jay. But I don't, you know, I just don't see how things are going to improve until things change at the top. I just don't. All right, let's move on. We'll get to Amir. Amir, you got to hit your microphone icon on the bottom of your device. And once you do, I will put you in. There you go. All right, Amir, how are you, sir? You're on with Grant on Listen App.
Grant, how are you? Thanks for having me.
I'm good. Thank you for calling. I really appreciate it.
No, absolutely. I listen all the time. Don't have a chance to call in all the time, but it's good to speak with you, sir. I hope you had a great Christmas. Too much of your time. Kind of voiced my frustrations with you privately about the Kings, and you know, I think you know where I stand with them. It's just very frustrating, and right now, the most frustration I have right now is for my son, you know, the younger generation. We grew up watching the Kings in the heyday, and you know, what a team it was, and the atmosphere and everything that you've touched on. And I've got a seven-year-old son now who has gone to the Golden One Center in the years past, and you know, he's, you know, approaching me left and right saying, hey, when are we going to the next Kings game? And honestly, it's frustrating, because as much as I want to appease my son and make sure that he has everything that I can provide for him, I just can't see myself supporting this team. And my frustration is, like you said, you know, with the ownership, you know where I stand. And it's just, it's atrocious what's happening with the team. And I don't know that there's an end in sight, because I don't know if Vivek is ever going to sell. I don't know what can change. You know, maybe your insight on that, your opinions would be greatly appreciated, as far as, you know, letting me know, or everybody, you know, what are the chances of that happening? What would need to happen for Vivek to sell? I don't know if he can be forced to sell. And
he cannot be forced to sell. He's the managing general partner. He has complete authority to run the basketball team as he sees fit. And as long as he's not doing anything unethical, you know, as long as he is playing within the rules of the league, and you know, I'm saying that in a very basic term, he cannot be forced out. So he is the managing general partner. He has that in his contract. The minority owners have absolutely no power. The power of the franchise is with one man and one man only. So unless he wants to sell, he cannot be forced to sell.
Right. All right. And Grant, I will leave you with this. I think I speak for a lot of people when I say we miss you here. Watching the games on TV is not the same. Listening, I don't even remember the last time I tuned into 1140. I'm done with a lot of these people for the decisions they made and the reasons they made them. And, you know, keep doing what you're doing. We miss you here, and you're a great guy.
Hey, Amir, I really appreciate your support and your comments, and Happy New Year to you. Thank you very much. It's greatly appreciated.
Likewise. Thank you.
Take care.
Too.
Yep, bye-bye. Good stuff. I really appreciate the comments. Again, if you want to get on, all you need to do is raise your hand. Love getting the calls, and we'll put you right up on stage with me, like E-Train. Hello, E-Train. How are you, sir?
Hey, Grant. I saw there was a fight on the Washington sidelines yesterday, and I've seen a couple other negative stories today about Washington. Do you think there's anything going on there?
No, I don't. I thought it was handled after the game by Ron Rivera and the players involved. They alluded to, hey, you know, brothers fight, right? We're brothers. We fight. No big deal. And they moved on. It looked bad. You know, obviously Washington got embarrassed by Dallas, and tensions, you know, got out of control on the sideline. But no, I don't look at it as a big deal at all. It's already been squashed. Everyone's talked about it. And I think the Washington football team has moved on from it. So I don't see any more to it than what has already been told. I really don't. I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I'm a big fan of Ron Rivera. And, you know, I hope that he succeeds there in Washington. And, of course, nobody likes losing. But, you know, hopefully they'll get that resolved.
Yeah. You know, I think it was Darren Payne was one of the players. And I think it was I think Jonathan Allen was the other one. And again, I read the quotes and I heard what Ron Rivera said. And I'm with you. I like Ron Rivera. I think his, you know, listen, he's dealing with a subpar roster at the quarterback position. You know, it's been very inconsistent. It's been up and down. They've got injuries. But I think Ron Rivera, the players really like playing for him. That was the case as well in Carolina. He's got the respect of his players. I think he's a good coach. Unfortunately, I don't think he has the talent, particularly on offense, to really compete week in, week out. I think when I look at Washington at 6-9, I think they've overachieved with that record, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, and they beat the Raiders too. So anyways, well, thanks, Grant.
All right, thank you. Yeah, I wouldn't brag about beating the Raiders. I don't think that's like, you know, anything to get super excited about. If you want to get in on the program, a couple of really good calls consecutively right there, hit your hand icon and we will put you up on stage. You know, when I look at that division, you know, Philadelphia is better than I thought they were going to be. And I didn't think Philadelphia would. I don't, when I watch Philadelphia play, I got to tell you, I like Jalen Hurts. I really do. I like watching Jalen Hurts play. I really like watching him play. And, you know, they lose another running back. Miles Sanders broke his hand. They've got a lot of injuries, but guess what? They're 8-7. They could be in the playoffs, you know? They're playing better than I thought they would. And they really are. They're playing better than I thought they would, the Philadelphia Eagles. All right, let's get to some more phone calls right here on Listen App on a very, very busy Monday. Grant Napier with you, and we speak to Alfred. Hey, Al, how are you?
Not good, Grant. Hey, I just want to make some comments on the NFL weekend. I'm a Rams fan, but speaking to Garoppolo and the Niners fans, my brother's a huge Niner fan, so it seems, I think part of the frustration is he's been hurt a lot, and I know it's not his fault. But, you know, just he's missed a lot of games over the years, and I think maybe there's a little frustration there. But I was kind of surprised to hear that he got that severe thumb injury in the second quarter. I'm in Jay's neighborhood. Jay spoke earlier. That's kind of the coaches and the training staff. I mean, maybe they should have stuck more to the running game or pulled them. I don't know.
I agree with you. I mean, if you have that type of a thumb injury and you're on the field where clearly it was affecting his throws, why is he on the field? And if you're right, then why would you, you know, not really go more to the running game? I mean, is Jimmy Garoppolo with a broken thumb and a torn ligament in his thumb better than Trey Lance? But, you know, it was a short week, not a lot of reps. Yeah. Trey Lance would have probably not known any of the game plan or very little right. of it. But still, how do you throw the football with a thumb injury like that? Yeah. And so, you know, in retrospect, and I did my rant on this on Friday, fans killed Garoppolo, media killed Garoppolo because they didn't know about his thumb. But now you're probably going to see Trey Lance for the rest of the year. The Niners haven't said that, but I'm just using common sense. I don't know how you could possibly play quarterback, you know, with a ligament and a broken thumb issue in your thumb. I don't see how you could possibly play.
Well, I missed your rant, by the way, and I'm always on all your processes, so I'm surprised I kind of missed it. I didn't know
you. Yeah, that was my rant on Friday. I did my rant on Friday on the Garoppolo and Niners, so you can go back and listen to it. It's still there, and you can check it out.
And, you know, be careful what you wish for. I agree. The other thing I wanted to say was, did you hear about that reporter who asked Bill Belichick about his New Year's resolution?
And you know what else, Alfred? Here's the shame of that. Because the reporter was female, two people are afraid to criticize her for being absolutely out of line with an absolute stupid, asinine question. But because she's a female, nobody wants to come out and criticize her for asking an absolutely ridiculous, stupid question at the most inopportune time. You know, again, this country is so damn woke, and they're so afraid of cancel culture. They're so afraid of being, you know, just be fair. She should have been criticized for asking a absolutely stupid question at the most inopportune time. That's a question that should be asked during the week on a non-game day. First of all, I don't even know if it's a question that should be asked, but I'm okay with it. It's fair. I mean, she's doing a job. She's a reporter, but that's a question that should be asked on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, whenever the coach availability is during the week. That's when that question should be asked. Not after your team just lost the division lead against your division rival. To ask a question like that is borders on incompetence. But yet everyone is too damn afraid to criticize the reporter because she is female. It's just ridiculous. Criticize her. It was a stupid, absolutely ridiculous question. Should not never have been asked in the first place, especially after a loss to a divisional opponent that cost you a division. I mean, stop it already, would you please?
Thank you so much. You just like you always do, you just totally read my mind. You've always done that over the years. I just was astounded. The fact I was like, you're an embarrassment, number one. Are you she was like a Home and Garden magazine, Cambridge Home Living or something. I mean, what are you doing at a NFL press conference? I'm with you, though. I just was like, shake my head. I said, why? Hey, if anything, I commented, hey, Bill Belichick, good for you on keeping your composure. I would have gone Jim Mora Sr. on her, you know, when he did playoffs. You know, I would have been trying to say, you really just asked me that question? I had to give him props for being restrained. I mean,
it was embarrassing. It was embarrassing. Absolutely embarrassing.
And I'll just leave you with let me ask you real quick, if you don't mind. Who do you like, guys, right now out of the NFC as far as who's your – I know Dallas looked really, really good last night. I mean,
Green Bay.
You never know.
Green Bay's playing the best. I know that they just squeaked by. But, I mean, I think, you know, Green Bay has everything set up. Listen, Dallas did play well, but Washington basically had half their team off the field. Dallas had not played very well in the weeks leading up to it. But Dallas is going to be right there. But clearly, to me, Green Bay is the team that beat right now in the NFC.
Okay, thank you for that. They got to go through Lambeau and, you know, maybe Rodgers. He's had it. He's been salty. We've been talked about this. He's salty, man. He's wanting to put one on somebody. So he's had like a chip on his shoulder. So it's good. I agree with you, though. I think it's probably going to be the Packers with the home field. Thanks for taking my call.
It's my pleasure. Take care. Good stuff right there. Hey, if you want to be next, all you got to do is hit your hand icon, raise your hand, and we will put you right on. You can say what you want about that question. It was out of line. It's absolutely stupid to ask that question in that situation. Period. You know, I don't have a problem with the question. I do have a problem with the question after a loss against a divisional rival to Bill Belichick. All right? That's a question that needs to be asked during the week. And if you're working on a story, then you should be able to get access during the coach press conference during the week. All right? It's just out of line. But no one wants to criticize her because she's female. It's ridiculous. You know, and then you have, you know, Antonio Brown, who, you know, wants to turn it around and blame the media, you know, during his post-game press conference. Amazing. I can't control what people want from me. I can't control what people write about me. Yeah, you can control it. Stop being an ass. Stop being an idiot. Stop getting arrested. Stop quitting on your team. Stop doing stupid things. Yes, you can control it. You're absolutely wrong. You are 100%. You 100% can control it. Very simple. Grow up. Act like a freaking adult. All right? You can control it. You sure as hell can control it. Unbelievable. Seriously. Absolutely unbelievable. Can't control it. And good for, I was reading a column over the weekend about Antonio Brown in the New York Post, and I thought it was just freaking spot on. I wish I had saved the story, but it was absolutely spot freaking on. Talking about how embarrassing Antonio Brown is. And he is. He's an embarrassment. And the reality is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers kept Antonio Brown because they're desperate. That's it. Desperate. Absolutely desperate. They lose Chris Godwin for the year. Evans hurt his hamstring. You are trying to defend your Super Bowl, and you're desperate. And so Bruce Arians can go back and talk about, oh, gee, how Antonio was just a model citizen and on the team last year, and he's changed his opinion, and blah, blah, blah. You know what? It is embarrassing. Brutal. Incredible. And then Antonio Brown blames the media for creating the mess because of what they write about him. How about that, huh? How about that? I mean, if there's a more unprofessional player, and there are a lot of them in the National Football League, I would love to know who they would be. Who's more unprofessional playing currently in the National Football League than Antonio Brown? Can you help me out here? Do you know of other players that you would label as more unprofessional than Antonio Brown? Seriously, who would it be? I'm trying to think as I'm talking to you off the top of my head, who would that be? Who would it be? I mean, this guy's an embarrassment. And, you know, I'm glad that there are members of the media that aren't afraid to call it the way it is. You know, you have a coach who came out last year and said if he screws up again, he's gone. You don't think that lying about your vaccination? As a matter of fact, here it is. I'm going to read some of this to you. I just found it. Mark Cannizzaro, the New York Post. All right? Because I thought this was right on. Bruce Arians is a good guy and a good coach who made a really bad decision this week by allowing receiver Antonio Brown and safety Mike Edwards back into the building at the Buccaneers training facility. All right. Then he goes on and talks about the injuries. Then he says this, but to bring back Brown, a serial bad guy with a rap sheet longer than his list of career NFL receptions after he served a 3-game suspension for presenting a fake COVID-19 vaccination card is detestable on the part of Arians and general manager Jason Licht. Brown has made a fool of Arians, who has been deservedly lauded for the litany of good he does at the forefront of coaching and front office diversity. Remember the tough guy words from Arians a year ago when the Bucs controversially signed Brown, who was freshly removed from serving an 8-game suspension for violating the league's personal conduct policy for an accusation of sexual misconduct at his home by an artist who was working there in 2017. A felony burglary with battery charge and 2 lesser misdemeanor charges related to an incident with a moving truck company outside his home in Florida. Quote, he screws up one time, he's gone, Arians told Peter King at the time. Well, in the stress-riddled COVID-19 age in which we live right now, where does faking a vaccination card and putting an entire NFL team at risk of dangerous illness and potentially forfeiting games fall on the screw-up meter? Apparently not far enough up the gauge for Arians, who sadly exposed himself as a sellout by allowing this knucklehead back on to the team. It's in the best interest of our football team, Arians told reporters, blah, blah, blah. Both of those guys have served their time and we'll welcome them back. Mark writes, what a disgrace. Well, I'll just stop right there. All right. I'll read this one last paragraph. This entire ordeal is a bad joke. Shame on Arians and the Bucs, and shame on the NFL for allowing this to happen. Brown, based on a sordid track record and this unforgivable vax card violation, should have been suspended for the rest of the year by the NFL at a minimum. If you happen to find yourself watching the Bucks play the Panthers on Sunday and you see Brown make a catch and preen like a diva afterward and you feel a little bit sick to your stomach, you won't be alone. Love that. It's a great job right there. I did a rant on this as well, and I pretty much said the same thing. You know what? It's an embarrassment for the league. It really is. And I agree, it does make Bruce Arians, who is probably the best in the league for his role in equality, diversity, everything else. There's no one better in the NFL than Bruce Arians. He looks bad right here. That's a bad look. All right. Good show today. Appreciate it. Back tomorrow. Same time. Hope that you, actually tomorrow, I have to check. Tomorrow I've got a crazy day. I may have to skip tomorrow and come back with you on Wednesday. Just follow me. You know, you'll see. I'll put it all out right here on the app, right on social media. You'll be able to keep up with me. All right. Hey, fabulous show today. Appreciate everyone that called. Thank you very much for listening here